Revelation chapter 5, beginning to read with verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number was 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And to every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. We're going to end with the second verse of chapter 6, and let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today. I ask for your strength today that you will speak through me and give me the strength to proclaim your words properly, dear Lord. I need your wisdom. I need your power. Please, that you'll just guide and lead us as we look into the future, a time that we're going to be a part of, a very active part of, and we should be excited to see. And as the world around us seems to have so much trouble, and we don't know from one day to the next what'll come, whether a person will have a job or not a job. And Father, there's just so much that is about us today, and yet we know that this is just a vapor. And so, please, dear Lord, don't let us be consumed with this life, but be desirous in this life to serve you and testify of you and give that precious message of the gospel out, that all will be able to hear and to know that they'll know there's a God that died for them and he come to save us. And so please, dear Lord, that we give that message out and we be consumed with that and not with the problems of the world, looking and waiting for the time that we're going to be seated in the heavenlies with you, just as we're looking at here in the book of Revelation. So please guide and lead us now, and again, give me the strength to speak your words, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We look at that 10th verse, and in that 10th verse gives us a picture once again of what's going to take place, what's going to come, and that is we are going to reign with our God for 1,000 years. And what a wonderful hope, what an exciting time, and that time will come, and God's going to make us kings and priests. And as we look at a couple of verses of Scripture the Word of God, one verse answers another verse, and so we need to look. And if you'll go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, the 9th verse, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And then if you would go back with me to Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. Revelation chapter 20, verse 5. 5 and 6 both. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This was the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. And so when we come back now into the 5th chapter of Revelation, and we read once again that 10th verse, he hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. And then it continues in the 11th verse. And you know, it's a beautiful hope that we have, that each one of us in this day to be able to be of the royal priesthood, to be able to enjoy and walk and serve with our Lord Jesus. But don't miss the fact that it all comes about because of him dying on the cross and saving us. It has got to be through his precious blood is the only way that any of this takes place, any of this happens. What a wonderful opportunity we have, and it is given to us through our God, and it's given to us undeserved. You know, we are of a people, and especially the generations that come after my generation, they're raised of a people that deserve everything. And we need to realize that we deserve nothing. And especially, we do not deserve the grace that God gives us, and the love that he gives us, and the power that he gives us, and the wisdom that he gives us, and the opportunity to spend eternity with him that he gives us. All that comes through his love and his power and his strength. It is nothing that we have done, and it is all given to us, and we surely do not deserve it. Psalms chapter 24, verse 1 says, The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We need to understand that he possesses. He has made this earth. We have been looking in the Sunday school class at his creation, and we have had an ongoing discussion always that without the presence of God, without the power of God in our lives, we lack wisdom and knowledge. We have none. And we were looking just a little bit at this wonderful universe that God has designed, and how it operates and how it functions, and to look at the numbers of what science has established, to realize that the earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. And perfectly, 1,000 miles, it's spinning. And then it's going around the sun at 64,000 miles an hour. And if you want to find out how big the earth is, to go 1,000 miles an hour, it takes a day for it to go around. It takes a year for us to circle around the sun, which is traveling at 64,000 miles an hour. And the numbers then just get kind of mind-boggling as you go to how fast that that this solar system is traveling through the galaxy, and then how fast that is traveling through space. It gets into the millions of miles an hour. And yet for someone to think that it just went, and we talked about, you know, the Big Bang Theory, it just went, you know, how can something go kaboom and have all this? And it would be nothing. I mean, because there was nothing. And yet man, in all their wisdom, tried to talk about how this is all evolved and everything. You've got to have a wild imagination to think there is not a creator. And our creator has not only designed our universe, spoken into existence, and then come to save us. Now, all that said is that makes our Lord, our Savior, the only one worthy to open the seals that we're about to look at. The only one. He is going to open and begin this series of judgments that's going to come upon the earth. As we look at the Word of God, Jesus will sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem and reign, and he will do that with us for 1,000 years. But there's some things that have to take place before that. And that's what we're going to look at here with these seals. And again, to remember, Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There'll be a day that Jesus will take complete possession of this earth, and we will reign with him. The world keeps talking about peace. We need peace. We need peace. Peace will never be found until our Lord comes to rule and to reign upon this earth. And we need to enjoy. We love looking at different verses of Scripture. And if you would look with me to Ezekiel chapter 34 and Isaiah 65, we're going to get just a little picture of some things that some Old Testament prophets talked about. Let's go to Ezekiel first, Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, because you see, all this was put in place before the beginning of time, before the foundations of the world. Ezekiel chapter 34, we're going to begin reading with verse 26. This is the joy. This is what we're going to enjoy with this time with our Lord. I will make them, this is verse 26, Ezekiel 34, 26. I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. The tree and the field shall yield her fruit. The earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land and shall know that I am the Lord, when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hands of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. Let's go to Isaiah 65 now. Look at the promises of how this is going to change, how great a day it's going to be when we will be there to rule and reign with our Lord. Isaiah 65, verse 25. This is one that you may be a little more familiar with. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. There's going to be a day that peace will come upon this earth, and that day and that joy will be while we will rule and reign with him. If you remember, John has, in the Spirit, has found himself at the throne of God. We have the four living creatures, if you remember, and we have the 24 elders, which represent the church. We've looked at the throne of God and the God that sits on that throne. And then we look to the one that is capable of taking the book, the book that was written, and open the seals, the scroll, and to be able to open it. And if you'll understand, as we open each one of these seals, it opens just so far. You know, we think when we open the seal on an envelope, or you open the seal on a scroll that you would roll up and seal it, when you open it, you'd have everything. But here it is sealed each time. And so when you open one seal, only so much is exposed to read. And that's what we're doing here. We're beginning to open these seals one at a time. And so we need to understand now, as the one that will possess the heaven and the earth is about to bring judgment down. And so let's look to this 11th verse, because it just continues to give us a picture of who is present in heaven. again with the 24 elders, being the church. All born-again believers will be there. We have the four beasts are present, and then we have God the Father, God the Son, and all is present here in this beautiful, beautiful place called heaven, God's home. And John is able to be there and to see this. And this 11th verse says, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000s, and thousands of thousands." Now, how many is that? 10,000 times 10,000s, and thousands of thousands of angels. Now, we know that they are created beings. There was no salvation for the angel. Those that have fallen, and they're going to. That's the reason that the lake of fire was created, to put the fallen angels in. However, everyone that denies Jesus as their Savior will find themselves present with the fallen angels. There's no salvation for them. They cannot trust in the Lord Jesus and be redeemed, be returned. These angels were created for God's service. He uses them in many, many ways. He uses angels to help us. He will send an angel down many times that if a stranger's at the door, you never know when you're entertaining an angel, someone that God has sent. How often has someone come your way and assisted you and helped you, and you thought it was just a stranger, and yet it possibly was an angel that God had sent down to help? Do you understand how God protects us? We need not be afraid, because God is our God, and He sees us and knows us and protects us. And we need to understand that these servants of His, these messengers in many cases of His, are for His honor, for His glory, for His use. But He uses them many, many times to announce events of something that was taking place, or maybe it was just to come and to help. And it's exciting. The number is beyond number of how many angels are present there at the throne of God. So now we have the church. We have the four living beasts that are singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," day and night. And now we have these legions and legions and legions of angels that are also present here at the throne. What are they saying? "With a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Words, once again, that we've heard several times, but not near enough. We don't say those words enough. We need to proclaim those words. Others are singing it. The angels here are said to be saying it. They are saying these words and repeating those words. And as you hear at times, why you'll be in a large group, and they'll sing the beautiful hymns. And when they do, it just kind of makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck, because it's such a joy to hear all the voices to sing. Can you imagine what it's like when a song is sung, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain," by the church up there with perfect voices? And then beyond that is the words that are said by a number that can't be recorded of angels saying the same words. Are we getting any kind of a picture of what heaven's going to be like? Can we imagine that? And this is right now we're to the 7 years. We're during the tribulation. The church has left, and the world is about to experience their God, the great Antichrist, the great liar, will be here upon this earth, ruling and reigning and deceiving the multitudes. That's what's going to be going on here. But up in heaven, look what's going on in heaven. Look at that glorious day. And all this is being said just to await and just to announce, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb to perform this. Worthy is the Lamb to do this. He is worthy. And they continued and said, "The worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And as it continues, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne." John, a little later, Revelation 22:8, was so taken by these angels that he bowed down before them. And he began to worship them. He was so taken by the greatness of the angels. But you know what the angels said? "You get up. You only bow down and worship to God." John still was a man. He didn't have his fleshly body up there, but the old man was there. And when he saw this, he was just so taken by it, and they didn't want any of the glory. And we need to see that we do the same. That we want all the honor and glory to go unto our God and not into some person or some building or something that's there. We need to see that we praise Him and we honor Him and we put Him in the proper place. And again, Revelation 22:8 is where they tell Him, you know, "Please, you don't worship me." No, worship God. And so we need to remember that, because we are very guilty of worshiping many things and putting our God in a place that He shouldn't be, and that is less than the most important place in our life. The book of Revelation, as we look at this, is not fiction. Many people would like you to believe that it's just some man's writing. But it is fact. It is spoken by the Holy Spirit. It's written by this precious, beloved, John the Beloved, as the Scripture calls him. And John testifies. He says, "Behold, I beheld and I heard." And we're going to find that many times as he continues. He purchased our redemption, and anyone that wants to come, whosoever will, can come. It's just that simple. And that's what makes it so sad, that we don't proclaim it, bringing in the sheaves. We're supposed to be out harvesting and bundling them up and bringing them in. If we go out and cut one stalk and bring it in, we're proud. Bring in the sheaves. We're supposed to be out gathering. We're supposed to be busy at harvest enough that we have to bundle them again together and bring them in, and then we go back out and come again. My granddad always used to say that those when they were thrashing days, and when the one that was at the thrashing machine that would take the bundles, he was not enough of a man. It took two to handle a bundle. But he always, don't remember the man's name, but there was one man, he was so strong that he could handle one bundle, and he could pick that bundle up, and he would hoist it up into the thrashing machine. And Grandpa was always amazed at the strength that this man had. Well, we need to bring bundles equal to that in. Ones that we just don't even think we can hold on to, and we can't even lift up, because we have witnessed and watched so many souls be saved, bringing in the sheaves. And it's so simple, because, my friend, it's whosoever will. And we get to these end days, and we're there. We're right in those days. Jesus could come before the evening service. He's that close to coming. We need to be ready. Many believe that the church is here during part or all of the tribulation. We've talked about that. The pre, the mid, the post-tribulationists, they call them. And it's hard to be in. Who here can be in two places at once? I've tried it. It just doesn't work. Who here can be in two places at once? Well, it's the same situation with this. Where is the church? The church is at the throne of God in heaven. The 24 elders are there. They can't be here upon earth as he opens his seal. So no, hold on to that hope. You're not going to be here. I'm not going to be here if you're born again. We're going to be right there in the presence of the Lord, not here as these things begin to open up. As we look at this next part here, and we finish up as the 13th verse, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. We have God the Father, God the Son present. We have here verse 14 again, the four beasts said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. What a beautiful verse of Scripture as we close out that fifth chapter. Please get that in your mind. Imagine what that's going to be like. Because I think when we can fathom how great heaven's going to be and how wonderful it would be to bring all those that we know with us, we're going to be busy harvesting. Not bringing in... How long would harvest take if the farmer today would go out and chop down, you know, pull one ear of corn off of the stalk and carry it to the elevator, and then go back and pull another one off and carry it to the elevator? How long would harvest take? We need to learn something from the farmers. They go out because it's harvest time, so we harvest. And God tells us it's harvest time. We need to be harvesting. We need to be sharing the gospel, telling people about the Lord Jesus, because there's a time coming here that is going to be a terrible time upon this earth. And anyone that is not raptured up with the church will be left here to go through this time. How can anyone rejoice with such a terrible time that's coming upon this earth? We find that it's the rejoicing, praising God, and honoring God, and worshiping God. Well, my friend, we're going to have our perfect glorified bodies. We're going to have our perfect mind. And we're going to know when we say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to open the seals." That means that God is just and God is right. And whatever judgment comes upon this earth, it is a rightly deserved judgment. There is nothing that's going to come on to anyone that is undeserved. He says, "Well, I've got family that's lost. I've got people. They're good people." Hell's going to be full of good people. Because when we say good people, it's the world saying they're good people. We begin here with the 6th chapter, verse 1. "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." Remember who is worthy. And he opens the seals. As we look at this part here, we'll find that there are three different judgments, kind of three different series of judgment that's going to come. We have the seven seals. We're going to have the seven trumpets. And then we have the vials of the wrath of God. That's what's to come. And so as we come through this, we will... This all takes place as we look at this time, as we begin these studies here, from the rapture of the church and the second coming of our Lord. If you look to the book of Daniel, you'll find this to be the 70th week that he prophesies. And we'll find it to be 7 years, a period of 7 years. The first half will be a time that is somewhat mild. First 3.5 years are going to be kind of level off. The last 3.5 years will be the most awful time that there'll be blood and death and suffering to match nothing. Nothing that's ever been or ever will be the last 3.5 years on this earth. You know somebody, you love somebody that's lost, beg them, pray for them. Talk to them. As we've said before, it's better if they says, you know, if you don't stop telling me about Jesus, says, but I love Jesus and I want you to be saved. And if they says, well, if that's who you are and what you're talking about, I want to be around you, it's going to break your heart. But it's better for them to hear it and hear it clearly, and never to speak to you again than you not to tell them. Because you don't know what day, what time, somebody else may come and those words that you've shared with them will ring in their ears, and all of a sudden the Spirit will finally get victory and they'll be saved. We look so much at heaven. Many times we don't look down to hell. This will be as close, people, I've heard folks say today that their life is, this is hell on earth. Hell won't be any worse. Well, there will be hell on earth, but hell will be worse. But the hell that'll be on earth will be that last 3.5 years. It's not today. It's not today. These judgments that we're about to look at, one seal at a time, it's opened up. John is an eyewitness. John says, I saw and I heard, as it was the noise of thunder. And one of the four beasts come and said, come and see. Come and see. I want you to see this. The thunder is believed to be none other than the mighty voice of our Lord and Savior as He speaks, as He opens His seal, and one judgment begins. John hears it, John sees it, when the Lamb opens the first seal. This writer that we look at here in this second verse, I saw and behold. Verse 1, I saw and I heard. I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to be conquered and to conquer. Went forth conquering and to conquer. First thought, when you hear the white horse, who do you think's on it? Yeah. You think it's Jesus. I mean, got a white horse, got to be Jesus. Psalms 45 and Revelation 19:11 will help you to see that it isn't. It isn't. When Jesus comes on His white horse, He's going to come with the sword in his mouth and with us right behind. That's when he's going to come. Who do we have here? We have none other than the liar. Almost Satan himself that has taken a body on, called the Antichrist. Anti means opposite. Opposite. The only thing the devil can do, the only thing that the enemy of God can do, is the opposite. Antichrist is the liar. The devil is the liar. And that's who we have coming here. And he that sat on him had a bow and a crown. How dangerous is a bow without an arrow? I think the arrow is what does the damage. Every other place where there's battle, the scripture clearly speaks of a bow and arrow. He forgot his arrow. The Antichrist. Jehovah is great and wonderful. This one is a cheat, a liar. He's counterfeit. We're in the 7 years. We're in the time of the tribulation. When we are in the time when the great deceiver will come. And here's the first picture you have. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. Oh, the world is going to crown him king. And it was given unto him, and he went forth to conquering and to conquer. The great liar. He's got 7 years. 7 years. And he wants to be God. And he set out to do that during this time. Becoming a very sad time. Next week, we'll look again at that first seal and begin the second seal. And we'll open those one at a time. We're going to take our time and we'll look to see what it means. But I want you to see that this first one is not Jesus, as it would appear. It's what the devil wants us to see. He's the great deceiver. He's the great liar. Worthy is the Lamb. He is the one that's worthy and able and capable to open these seals as we begin to look at this time of this world. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we have an opportunity to come and to hear your word. I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll take those words and you'll just as when we pray to you, you'll take those words and you'll apply them to the hearts of the listeners today. That all that whoever gets the chance to listen to this message, that it comes into their ears correctly. It comes into their ears and it makes sense. And Father, your Spirit can take them and you can make them of words of use and of strength. This precious book, when it's read, when it's studied, it's your word. It's your power. It's your strength. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us and show us. Show us what you'll have us to do. Let us see what awful time this is going to be here on this earth. And we know that multitudes are not going to trust in you. We know that the question was asked, will I find any when I come? And we know in the time of Noah that there were just 8 souls. In the time of Lot, there were just three. Will there be any? That's the question. Father, have us to be busy at harvest. Let us get a vision of heaven and a peek at hell. And then let's get to work serving, praising, and honoring you. Those, Father, that are here that do not know you as their Savior, please that they come today. They realize their sin and their life, they're lost, they're dying, they're dead, and Father, they need salvation through you. And they'll invite you into their hearts today. And please help us to grow and be strong in you, dear Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.